Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Biz Radio, Kent Business Radio,
and Even.
And channelradio.co.uk/2. On this Tuesday, the 7th of November, with me, Paul Andrews, and her, Jill Serkin.
We had a lot of traffic on the Twitter. It's all going bananas. We've had our resident Business Bunker poet, Camellia Jennings.
Chris right? Hyde, yeah.
The lovely. And he's moved. I can't remember where he's gone. I think he's gone up north.
He's gone to Lincolnshire.
Louth in Lincolnshire, is he?
He's gone to South Lincolnshire. He was in Hampshire in the New Forest. He's moved back to Lincolnshire.
So he's gone up north.
Yep.
And he is trying to pen a poem for us. Mm. And then, of course, Tracy, who's sitting next to me, has chipped in saying Lucy makes... who we've just been talking to, she makes the most amazing luxurious feeling scarves and other items, beautiful products.
We've had a tweet from Athelbray.
Ah, hello.
And they say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, please can we have a shout out? There's a few places left on our telephone sales course on the 15th of November at Chilston Park with the fabulous Mandy doing the training. You can follow Athelbray on the Twitter, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D is their Twitter handle, or you can call them on 01892 832059. That's 01892 832059.
And Neil of the lovely Channel Radio Health show, the new health show, iNutrition UK on the Twitter, has said, be careful, Paul Andrews, what burns on the way in burns on the way out too. Perhaps the next song played should be Ring of Fire.
Oh, thank you.
Got that to look forward to. And the lovely Alison Palmer of the Kent FSB is listening in, and she says, welcome back, Jules. Thank you. Terence Gorman.
Don't encourage her, Alison. Do not encourage
Terence
her.
Terence Gorman, my buddy from America, is listening in, and he says, hello, howdy from America.
How about this one then? Kim Stevens from Caring Kent. She says, Vanilla Web, I would love a shout out on the Business Bunker show because I love the Business Bunker more than I love X Factor.
Well, I think X Factor's gone down the pan. You know, that Louis Walsh. I can't watch it anymore because I never agree. He sends off the best singers, Paul Andrews.
Does he?
The ones I love, he sends off.
Thank you for that.
Roma Vaccaro. I hope I'm saying her name in a proper Italian way.
Twilight Cleaning have sent you a version of Toto for your trip to Africa. Yes, yeah.
I shall look later. Well, Roma Vaccaro says that listening in now, loving to hear Lucy's story and her journey in the industry. So that's lovely. She's at Fash Spaceship. You can follow her. Chris Hyde has done one. Have we got time to read it? No. We'll FSB.
We'll read it in a minute. I've got a tweet from Ash Lawrence of Ash Mindset, and he says, hi, Paul, love the show. Keep up the good work on the Business Bunker show. Hashtag flip-flop psycho. He's asked for a shout-out. What we see depends very much on what we're looking for. What are you seeing? That's ashlawrence.co.uk. So do check that out.
I'm just reading this poem. I've got to tell you, there was a young lady called Serkin who followed a new husband while working. She ate dodgy toads along Chinese roads. Now in the toilet, she's lurking.
Thank you, Chris. That is excellent. I hope you've retweeted that.
Of course.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Anthony Jones, AJ Photo Info is his Twitter handle.
Yes, on Sheppy.
Yeah, can I have a bunker shout out for all those creative businesses who make Kent such a vibrant place to live? I think that's inspired by Lucy, to be honest.
Yes.
And talking about creativity, we've also had a tweet from Design Point. Des_point is their Twitter handle. Business Bunker, please can we have a shout out on this wet morning? It's Steve at Des Point in Tunbridge Wells. Design solutions, expertly delivered and local. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. I met Steve for the first time the other day at the Networkers Networking event. A really lovely chap. Do meet up with him. Joanne Fraze, a Business Bunker shout out. Can we have a big shout out? Great show. Catch up. I'm going to be listening on Catch Up later as I'm in London at the moment doing a GDPR discussion. We can sort out any IT-related issue. Give us a call if you need our help. That's Joanne Fraze on the Twitter. And she says, I love you guys. We love you too.
Oh, we love you too, even more than you love us.
Yeah.
The Riverford sisters, their Riverford_Kent, are saying, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, our Christmas in a box is all you need delivered for Christmas. No fuss, no stress. And I always get my Christmas box from there.
We've had a tweet from Ross Sutherland as well. And Ross actually works for the Prince's Trust, I do believe. And he's also one of our DJs on Channel Radio. So he's just saying he's really pleased that we got the Prince's Trust on today. So he can mix work and pleasure all at once.
Hi, Russ.
Okay.
Are we ready to do FSB?
We're going
to
do...
Channel Radio News Update. The FSB on WeChat on Women in Enterprises. So that is a hashtag, FSB Chat. Leading digital entrepreneur and crossbench peer Martha Lane Fox has joined forces with the FSB to host a Twitter chat on Women in Enterprise. Joining the conversation on Monday the 13th of November... so that must be next Monday, from 12 to 1 p.m. using the hashtag FSB Chat. And they'll be discussing the barriers and opportunities for women in business with insights from a panel of inspirational and successful entrepreneurs. Tweet your questions ahead of the chat to FSB_policy. One for you, Lucy, perhaps.
Yeah, it could well be. I've got a whole series of events coming up for the FSB. As with other things on here, I'm going to read them all out. And if you want to find out more about them, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk website and click on the FSB tab, there's an events page there where you can book any or all of these and find out all the details about them. There's a Women in Business brunch on Thursday the 9th of November, and it's at the King's Head in Bessels Green. That's over in Sevenoaks. And the guest speaker is Francesca Watson, who is the owner of Sevenoaks Mums. And that's taking place between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. There's an FSB Connect Festive Tenterton Networking, and there's a change of venue for this event. It's on Wednesday, November the 15th at 5:30 in the evening, and it's now going to be held at the Biddenden Vineyard.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's that's got her excited. Oh, might go to that.
I do like a Kentish wine, as you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, absolutely, or a crate or two. There's Connect Networking in Maidstone, also on Thursday the 16th of November at 5:30. That's taking place at the Metro Bank in Week Street, Maidstone. And again, the guest speaker is Joanne Frey of Harlequins, and she's going to be talking about the General Data Protection Register for Dummies. There's a Connect Women in Business brunch on Tuesday, November the 28th, 10:30 a.m. at Western Hanger Castle. There's a Connect Women in Business Dartford lunch on Tuesday, December the 5th, 10 a.m. That's at the Base Point Centre in Dartford. And there's a Connect Women in Business. Oh, no, that's Women in Business in Dartford. So those events, if you want to find out any of them or book them or find out more details about them, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab and the events page.
And get ready for Small Business Saturday. As you know, listener, it's coming up fast. There's a bus tour to celebrate. They've announced plans for this year's bus tour. It's going to start on Monday, the 23rd of October in Dundee. And the bus will travel to 29 different towns and cities. Launching during the tour is a new mentoring programme, as well as the Small Business Saturday Blue Sofa, where interviews and Q&A sessions will be streamed via Facebook Live. To find out more, go to smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com. They've got a cheeky little no dot there, which flummoxed me.
Have we? Do you want to read another one?
Yeah, there's one that's... on my bug list here, and I know you'll all chip in, the FSB is looking at the council parking regimes which stifle small businesses and the community, and the local authorities could do more to boost growth by taking a more generous approach to parking around local high streets. Hear, hear, I hear you cry. Reacting to new figures from the RAC Foundation that show 8 million local authority parking penalties are issued annually across England and Wales. And Mike Cherry said introducing schemes like short stay free parking can prove a shot in the arm for town centres. How often have you not gone to, say, Canterbury City, for example, where my local, because of the parking? You know, you end up spending £7 and you're rushing round instead of being able to chill and maybe look, you know, browse. What do you think, Tracy?
I totally agree with you. It's such a beautiful place as well. And I know that I would quite often go somewhere like Whitstable instead of Canterbury because I can park more easily.
Really?
Yes.
Whitstable's a nightmare at weekends now. In fact, I walk in now. You know, I know that Lucy's agreeing. You can always park in my drive, darling.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
The FSB are supporting an event that's taking place in London on the 30th of November. It's an event aimed at startup businesses and small businesses for social media, and it's called Kickstart Social, and the website is kickstartsocial.media. Do check it out.
Sounds good. Networking could help tackle loneliness, say the FSB, of self-employed people. The FSB is urging the UK's 5.5 million small business owners, that's just the ones they know about, there's lots more, and the self-employed to make more use of business networking groups to help increase their well-being and mitigate mental health problems that can be caused by isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
Good stuff. There's a new £10 million fund to support adults to upskill and reskill. A £10 million flexible working fund is available for businesses to work with colleges and independent training providers to design, develop and test innovative ways of delivering technical and basic skills to adults and to break down the barriers to upskilling. The fund is open for project proposals until January the 31st, 2018. And for more information on submitting a proposal, if you go to www.gov.uk/government-publications-further-education. That's gov.uk/government-publications-further-education.
And the FSB say that the success of industrial strategy hinges on infrastructure, and the Chancellor must deliver promised improvements to digital and road connectivity while removing barriers for small house builders at his autumn budget next month. As part of its budget submission, the FSB called on government to put forward a series of recommendations aimed at boosting output amongst smaller house builders in England, as well as deciding on how the UK-wide universal service obligation, designed to give everyone access to broadband by 2020, will be implemented. Good one there.
Yeah. Do you claim R&D tax credits? Well, do you?
Should.
Yeah. HMRC is currently developing a digital form for small businesses to make their R&D tax credit claims. They're looking for small businesses that have made an R&D claim in the past and would be prepared to spend an hour or two trialling the new form. So they're trying to design a form to make this process easier. It's about time, because up until now it's been really hit and miss. So if you've done it, if you've actually applied and won, for want of a better term, an R&D tax credit, and you'd be prepared to help HMRC, it's always good to get on their side, really, isn't it? They'd love to hear from you. HMRC will do all the work. They'll travel to your company and provide everything you need for you to help them design the form. If you're interested in being involved in this, if you could go to the FSB website and find Jessica Smith, who's the Public Affairs Advisor, she will put you in touch with the relevant people at HMRC.
The HMRC websites these days are just amazing. Mm. I mean, gone are the days when I was starting companies. You didn't phone them up because you thought they were listening to you and taking things. Now, you go on there with a question. It's a YouTube explanation. It's fantastic. Really.
Absolutely. Amazing. Yeah.
Generating business in Canterbury. One of the best ways to learn, network and grow is to immerse yourself in a wide variety of business events. The business and regeneration team at Canterbury's Council's aim is to be one of these, a one-stop shop for you to discover events that are relevant to your business. Please go to mybiz-canterbury.co.uk/events.
Cool. The Chancellor must end the business rates chaos at the budget. Philip Hammond should end the staircase tax in England and Wales, bring business rates bill increase under control and commit to more frequent rates revaluations at the autumn budget. The FSB asks some 7 months after the 2017 business rates revaluation took effect in Scotland, Wales and England. The Chancellor must commit to more frequent rates of re-evaluations to allow firms to benefit from fluctuations in the property market. I'm going to make one statement about that. Business rates are an omni-shambles. It is a complete and utter travesty. It's a mess. Sort it out, guys, quickly. Thank you.
Is that the end of the FSB?
No, I've got loads. Have you got any more?
No, I've finished.
You've read all yours, haven't you?
Yeah, I might go and have some North Pennine birch syrup.
Really? Yeah. Millions face a £150 tax sting. The government has announced there will be a delay to the abolition of Class 2 national insurance contributions. They've now pushed it out to April 2019. The hold-up means more than 4 million hard-working self-employed will not benefit from an expected tax cut of nearly £150. Mike Cherry, head of the FSB, said the delay was regrettable and costly, but welcomed the fact that there's a firm commitment to deliver a simplified service in 2019. And also, just to let you know, the search is on for the South East's most outstanding small business. The FSB South East Business Awards are now open for application, and you can apply for one of the a number of categories. There are, in fact, 12 categories. Business Exporter of the Year, Ethical Green Business, Business and Product Innovation Award, the Digital Business, Micro Business, Startup, Scale Up, Family Business, Young Entrepreneur, Employer of the Year. This one I love, the Triumph Over Adversity Award. I'm going for that, just for working with Jules. And the Community Award. For further information and to enter the awards, if you go to fsbawards.co.uk. And I think that brings us to the end of this week's FSB News Roundup. Thank you.
Great news.
Yeah. What you got?
Oh, we're doing more work now. Okay. Yeah. So I've had an email from Lindsay Allen, and she is the Personalised Independence Programme Volunteer Coordinator for Age UK. She's based around the Home Bay, Whitstable area, and she's actually a mate of mine. So she says, following on from our meeting, we had a little lunch actually in Herne Bay, which is very nice, at the Wallflower Cafe, a little vegan cafe. She says, the Personalised PIP programme is a 12-week programme for people who are referred by their GP practice. And the criteria for taking part includes being over the age of 55, Paul Andrews, with two or more long-term health conditions such as COPD, heart conditions, dementia or diabetes. It is entirely tailored to the individual, says Lindsay, and as to what sort of things they want to achieve to improve their health and well-being and remain living at home. So a personalised independence coordinator will get in touch with them to arrange a home visit and assess their needs. So what Lindsay's trying to do is she's trying to get any leads from volunteers. She's trying to find people that got a few hours a week, 2 hours a week, who would be a befriender, but also able to assist in taking elderly people or older people out to pursue and help keep their interests alive. So she says, thanks so much, listeners, Business Bunker listeners. And she's listening in this morning or today. And she is, let's see how you can get her. You can phone them on 01227 749 570. That's Age UK in Herne Bay. You can obviously Google them, and you can go to ageuk.org.uk/Herne Bay and ask for Lindsay Allen, and we will put details on Kent Business Radio after the show.
Absolutely. Our autumn ZC Social Media Academy dates have now been set. We wanted to let you know about the next events that we have coming up at Dragon Co-working and a second event taking place at the Romney Marsh Resource Centre. We already have over 25 delegates booked for both days, so if you're looking to build up your business contacts and to network while learning about different social media topics at the same time, then please listen on. To book your free place, please follow Eventbrite link and fill in your registration details. That's ZC Digital Academy at Romney Marsh Business Centre. It's free to attend, and it's on Thursday the 23rd of November, 9:30 a.m. till 11:30 a.m. How to use video in your social media. Totally free event. Also a free event at ZC Social Media Academy at Dragon Co-working. That's at the St. George Hotel in Chatham. Free to attend Thursday the 23rd of November, 2:30 in the afternoon to 4:30. Again, how to use video in your social media strategy. And that's a free event. So do book on that. And you can book on that by going to eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Social.
We have on the 15th of November in Swanley, the third Wednesday, at 10:30 to 12, there is a Swanley networking event, which is hosted by Principal Nick White and the team at Parkwood Hall Cooperative Academy. It's an inclusive day and residential school that caters for 7 to 19-year-old students with a wide range of special needs. You can find out more by going to sevenoakschamber.com, but it's on the 15th of November at the Parkwood Hall Cooperative Academy. And that's in Beechenley Lane, Swanley. And that's B for Bertie, R for Roger 8, 8, D for Dog, and R for Romeo.
Cool.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hey, Paul. That's me.
Hey, how hip.
Yeah. Just dropping by with some information on our next free business startup course in November. The last one in September proved pretty popular with the 16 business startup enthusiasts joining us. So if you're thinking of joining us, then it's best to book on sooner rather than later. If it's not for you, but think a friend, colleague or acquaintance might be interested, and if you could hit them with the share button, we hugely appreciated it. This course is designed to be a fantastic way to develop your ideas into a sustainable business. Plus, the bonus of a group workshop means you get to start building your network and collaborating with others who are in the same boat as you. We've even had people do businesses with each other. Wow. Mm. The course is free and open to all ages with free ongoing business support too. All workshops are being held in the heart of Maidstone at state-of-the-art business facility, the Business Terrace. And it starts on Friday, the 10th of November. That's this Friday. If you want to find out more about it, go to the website businessinmaidstone.co.uk/events. That's businessinmaidstone.co.uk/events.
Thursday, the 30th of November at the Ashford International. The Business Growth Accelerator is on. It's five business growth experts and they're revealing how to unlock accelerated growth for your business without risking your assets, money in brackets, or your lifestyle. This is for small to medium-sized businesses, including startups who are frustrated by the lack of income and profit growth. It's an all-day conference, they say, with six world-class speakers and workshops, tea and coffee, a networking breakfast with speaker, and over £100 worth of products from speakers. You can go to www.growkent.co.uk with a little slash Ashford Annual Conference or log on to Kent Business Radio.
Cool. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Are we going to talk to our next guest?
We're going to talk to our next guest, yeah. Would you believe?
The architect. I can't wait to get my balconies done. he's wasted a whole hour.
She's so dying to get her hands on you, Mohammed. I'm sorry about this. I can only apologise. But first, we're going to make her wait a little bit longer and we're going to talk to the lovely Tracy Ferguson first.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
It's lovely to see you, Tracy. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about your role with the Prince's Trust, because you're a progression person, aren't you?
I am a progression mentor with the Trust. I'm also a talent match mentor as well.
Okay.
And I do some work with young people around well-being and literacy as well, which is one of my passions.
Right.
So with the progression mentoring, so as Kevin has said, with some of the programmes, when young people come off a particular programme, they may need a progression mentor to help them really find out what their journey is in life, what the next steps are for them, and to help them, as the role says, to progress to the next level. And that's what it is. That's what I do. I support young people on the next step of their journey.
Absolutely. Obviously, we were talking to Kevin earlier, and we've been talking to Lucy, and we're going to talk to Mohammed about their business. The kind of things that you're doing, is it all involved with people that are looking to start their own businesses?
No. Yep. So the work that I've done with the young people who are here today is mainly exhibitions. Mm. So that is helping them to prepare in terms of customer relations, visual merchandising as well. So that's part of my background.
Wow. She's got a pretty eclectic brief there, really, hasn't she?
That's why she works with the Prince's Trust.
Progression mentoring is normally, so these young people would have a business mentor.
Mm.
I work with people who've made me, may have come off a team programme or off Fairbridge. And this is the next step for them. So they're probably not in employment and it's helping them to find out what they can do. So either getting them into employment or education or training.
Okay. And I mean, just give us a feel. I know you can't talk about individuals and so you wouldn't want to do that. But give us a feel for the kind of issues that you regularly see that frustrate you, or you think, blimey, you know, why do we still have this? Is there anything that, you know, you regularly see, you think, well, if only we could devise some way of not letting this happen in the first place, we could move on? I know that's a bit of an obtuse question, but...
We have touched on some of the points already. So for me, it's most of these young people are in a place of very low self-esteem and not realising the skills and the attributes that they have and the strengths that they have. For whatever reason, they have... been told that they're no good, and in some instances, and they believe that, and my role is to help them to understand and to believe in themselves and that they do have talents and skills.
I'm going to ask you the question. I don't expect you to answer if you don't want to, and I have my own answer to this.
Okay.
But it frustrates me that we suffer from this an awful lot in our society of low self-esteem, and I kind of started thinking to myself, why do so many young people have low self-esteem? Now, my answer to that is it must be something to do with our education system. It must be something to do with how we build our education system that focuses on just one element for me, you know, because I went through the same thing when I left school when I was 14, because I just, you know, it was a waste of time. I just didn't understand what they were talking about. Now, that's probably not the whole answer, but from my point of view, that's the, how I see it. I mean, do you have a better insight into it than that?
I think it is difficult. So in the education system at the moment, as Liz has already said, if you have got a creative flair or an entrepreneurial flair, that isn't always helped along, because schools are there to get people
to do GCSEs, basically.
And I'm sure that there will be changes. However, my feeling is that if you're not good at something, which is academic, then you feel that you're not good. And that's what I'm seeing is that a lot of young people who have massive strengths and skills in other areas
are
believing that, that they're not very good. And yet actually they are. They're brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a lot to do as well with the young people that are challenged with certain things. One of the common denominators is low self-esteem, and that doesn't come from school. It can be exacerbated.
It can be cultural as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying, you know, no one's born a racist. You know, there's a journey that takes them to there, and it's exactly the same thing with young people. When they, you know, if they their background, be it peer group, be it parents, whatever. Like you, I left school early, but my mum thought I was wonderful, and that was enough for my shoulders to be square. That's all. It was still challenging out there, but I felt I had an escape. I had somewhere to go. A lot of young people don't have that.
Yeah, sure.
And that's where we capture as best we can, and great mentors like Tracy pick up. And and you know, just to blow Tracy's trumpet a little bit louder, please, Tracy deals with really complex situations and has had 100% success rate. She's incredibly good at what she does, as are a lot of our mentors and a lot of other mentors for other charities. And we can't overemphasize that. They take a lot of time to understand how to do this. It's not something they just drift into.
And I want to talk to Tracy, because I totally agree with you, Kevin, about this young lady and her peers and colleagues and the good work that they do. Just talk us through some of the successes you've had in terms of the journey that some of your mentees have been on.
It is difficult to talk about that, because obviously
personal
confidentiality
stuff.
Absolutely key. However, some of the young people that I have helped and supported have had very severe mental well-being challenges. And although they still have some of those challenges, they are able now to believe in themselves and are leading much more fulfilled and interesting lives and feel so much better about themselves. And for me, that is my job is done. And you know, I just love supporting those people who feel that they've got nothing to look forward to, and yet they absolutely have, and helping them to see that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crucially important for a start to society in general, not just the young people themselves. But of course, you look around and you see so much talent, and it goes to waste because people lack the confidence in themselves and lack knowledge in themselves. It's also, I mean, it's interesting that we quite often put young people in a position, and I think Lucy actually mentioned this earlier as well, where you're asked to pick a path in life at an age where you haven't got any idea where to go.
Who knows what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like one of the things that Kevin said about this earlier, because this is my experience of life as well, is you actually just start somewhere and see where it goes, and you know, and you build from there. We kind of started to set expectations of young people that they ought to kind of know something why you would expect a 17-year-old to know what you do. I'm 62. I haven't got a clue what I want to do. I never have had a clue what I want to do. I'm still trying to think about it. So why a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old should know? Who knows? You know, it makes no sense. I love the work that you're doing. It is crucially important. And developing young people to recognise their own abilities and talent is a fantastic thing. And it must give you a sense of personal satisfaction as well.
It does. Yeah, I am the proudest mummy out there, because they're all, there may be 30 some of them, but they're all my babies. And yeah, the immense pride that I've got in their achievements, because I'm a conduit, so I help them to realise their potential. But actually, they've had that potential all along. And for someone to be able to see that, it's just the most amazing thing.
Absolutely. Tracy, thank you for that. Thank you for talking to us. We'll come back to you in a minute, but sitting there patiently through all of this, waiting for his turn, is Mohammed Abdullah. Yeah. Mohammed, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you and hear from you. Now, you're an interesting character. You are a very interesting character, because we talk to loads of people that start businesses here, but it's very rare we talk to an architect
and an engineer, you know,
and an engineer, and that's even rarer in itself.
Yeah.
Which we'll explore in a minute. But you're an architect, yeah.
Of course.
Tell us a bit about your journey to where you are at the moment. So, presumably, you qualified as an architect first.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I went to university.
Which uni were you at, Mohammed?
It was a City University in London.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they have a specific course that does civil engineering with architecture.
Okay, cool.
And
okay.
It's a joint, sort of a joint honours. And it gives you that extra skill.
Without a doubt.
Whereas it helps in terms of design.
Yeah, because you can see both sides of a thing here. As an architect, you can design something, but you also have the practical experience to know if it will actually work.
Yes, of course. I mean, a lot of designs where you get a lot of huge spans where the building will not stand. Mm. So, you know, you want to look at it in a way to support it and the structural form of the building should be accounted when designing a building. So that's quite important. Mm.
So when you graduated, what made you decide to start your own business rather than go and work for another prominent architecture company?
When I graduated, and I don't want to say anything bad about universities, but they tend to push you towards the employment. And when you graduate, there's about 200 students graduate at the same time.
All looking for the same job.
Same job. And when I graduated, recession was at its peak. So after a couple of years with no luck having any jobs, which I applied for, I decided to start my own business.
And so when did you graduate?
2010.
Yeah, because I think we don't build enough in England, do we, to give architects the jobs that they need. So a brave step.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what made you start your own business?
Well, there was unemployment at the time when I graduated. And the closest job that I could get was a cleaner. And I wasn't looking for that.
No.
I didn't want to waste my talent at all.
No.
And that's one of the reasons why I started my business. And that's where the Prince's Trust came in. And that's how it...
How did you find out about the Prince's Trust?
Prince's Trust was a word of mouth from a colleague of mine. And I did a quick Google search as a business startup. And it led me to the enterprise program. Is where I started. I met Kevin, I met Tracy, and there's quite a few experienced business people in the enterprise program.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you're a creative business too, in a slightly different way. So Lucy is creative, but architecture and engineering are both creative businesses. Although, you know, it's slightly different approach to it, not so colourful, possibly. So tell us, how long have you been going now?
2.5 years.
2.5 years now. What's your favourite project so far? What have you worked on?
Well, there was an exciting project that...
Must be balconies, surely.
We'll come to that.
Yeah. She's not going to let you go, Mohammed. You know, she's
writing a quote as we speak.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's an exciting project I did in Kent where I had to work with a family and also work with the planning officer I mean, a lot of people have...
Well, that takes skill, working with the planning officer for a start.
Yes, I mean, a lot of people have negative thoughts about planning officers.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, and I would say that they're not there to punish us or, you know, they're not there to turn us down. They're as a guide. I mean, if we didn't have them, I think we'd have really ugly buildings.
Mm.
And, you know, or it might be a chaos of architecture. But they're there to guide us. And when I worked with this particular house and this particular family, they wanted a modern design. However, we could not fit this modern design into this sort of traditional house. So
were you designing a whole house? Or
It was an extension.
An extension, okay.
To a traditional house.
Okay.
So
was it Victorian or Edwardian? Or?
It was Victorian.
And they wanted a modern extension?
They wanted a modern extension.
Okay.
So what we did, we worked with the planning officer. We worked very closely with the family, and we designed it so the outside was very traditional. Mm. And itself is a challenge because I myself as a designer, I do like the modern. I do like the contemporary architecture.
Mm.
But in this case, it was a challenge because I had to design a very traditional house, a traditional extension. However, we kept the interior very modern. So the family were happy. The planning officer was happy.
Mm.
And in return, I was happy as well.
Exactly, yeah. You got a sense of achievement out of that.
Yes.
Mm.
So it was a successful project.
Mm. Was that your first project, or had you done smaller things? Because that's quite major.
Yes, I'd done quite a few smaller projects before, but this was on a large scale, I would say.
Mm.
And it was from start to finish. Mm. Okay. So it's nice to see something on paper that...
Absolutely, just to see your creativity come to fruition as a solid thing.
Yes.
Absolutely. When we were talking to Lucy... She was very honest with us, and she said, you know, she loved the whole design process. She loved fabric. She loved fashion, all the rest of it. The other kind of side of business, nah, not so much. Yeah. What's your feelings on running a business in the architecture space? I mean, what are the challenges you face in running that kind of business?
Well, because of Brexit, there's some uncertainty. However, in order to grow the business and in order to be a better architect or a better designer or a better engineer, I'm hoping to outsource self-employed and other businesses to help or to work as a team and to develop a business like that and to have a system and a model in this industry.
Cool. Okay. So where do you go from here?
Right.
What's your plans? Where are you heading?
Well, I've got a...
apart from balconies.
Yeah. We'll talk about George's balcony.
Stop with the balconies.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a specialist subject there. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, the profits are good if your overheads are low.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, business, you know, it's always sweet that way. So I tried to keep the overheads low, and instead of renting out or hiring an office or a studio base.
Where are you based at the moment, Mohammed?
Ramsgate.
In Ramsgate.
I love Ramsgate. Royal Harbour Hotel.
Oh, that's amazing.
Let's meet for lunch.
Of course, yes.
And discuss balconies. Yeah. Yeah.
The Empire Rooms.
Yeah.
In fact, you could come to Slope Off Friday, December the 1st is Slope Off Friday lunch. So come as our guest.
Mohammed, okay. Watch it. She's selling you now. She's selling you now. Don't buy.
But Mohammed's business is growing probably 50-60% year on year.
Wow.
So I need to get in fast.
You need to really get in fast.
Yeah. Lunch Friday, December the 1st. There's 20 of us.
So that's a really interesting piece of data to know. What's causing that degree of growth? You just mentioned uncertainty in the market. So you've got uncertainty on one side and massive growth on the other side. So you're doing something really right, aren't you?
Yes, I mean, filling the gap. I mean, you know, as a designer and an engineer.
It's that double thing is a big benefit, isn't it?
Yes, and that's
I've had stuff designed by architects, and they come up with these flashy things, and then you wander off, and people go, "You can't build that; it'll fall over, or whatever."
The old tensile strength.
Yeah.
What about builders? Do you work with good builders in the Ramsgate area, or how do you work with them?
I mean, a lot of people that I work with, they tend to source their own builders.
Mm-hmm.
I do come across some very good ones and some awful ones.
Yeah, me too. I've met some very awful ones.
Yes, I mean, it depends where you look. If you look in the right place, My Builder, that's a very good site where you can find local builders in your area.
Mm. And once you've worked with a few that you get on with, then presumably there's more projects coming up that you can work with.
Yes, and
so you're based in Ramsgate, out there in the wilds of East Kent,
yes,
on a par with Namibia, really, out there, isn't it? Where are you finding your business? Is it mostly local, or are you operating on a wider scale?
It's mostly local.
Mm-hmm.
However, through exhibitions, through the Prince's Trust, I do get projects in Ashford, in Maidstone.
Right.
I've done one in Sittingbourne, Whitstable. Done one in Whitstable, so there's quite a few towns that I've worked in and different boroughs.
Okay,
it's interesting because the point you raised about where his growth is going to continue in an uncertain market. When Mohammed first got into promoting his business and growing his business, it was he had pretty much no customers, but he works incredibly hard. He came to the exhibition. He came all suited and booted, totally prepared, lead generation forms, which we tend to have to encourage young people to do.
Mm.
And he listened to Tracy and I and how we suggested he present himself, and he just put his head down, and 18 months, 2 years later, he's got 3 or 4 months worth of work booked in advance.
Brilliant.
Wow, that's
and
fantastic.
His integrity to delivering a project from cradle to grave is amazing. Mm. And pretty much all of his business, and most of his business, is referral.
Mm.
And that says a lot about any business, doesn't it? When your organic growth is through referral.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave a talk at an event last week, and I ended up with a saying that I found somewhere that kind of struck me, that is the reverse of what you're doing. And it says, don't moan about the results you're not getting from the work you haven't done. Yeah, and what you've done is put the work in. And when you put the work in, eventually the results come back to you. Absolutely. Fantastic stuff, Mohammed. Where are you going from now? What's the big drive for you, do you think?
Right, in the next couple of years, I would like to be one of the best in Ramsgate, at least,
mm-hmm.
And hopefully conquer Kent.
Yeah.
But however, right now, as an initial start, I'm constructing a studio in the back of the house in the garden.
Okay.
It's got a separate access, and people can or customers can come and see the design. They can see the stages of the design, and you can see it done.
Absolutely, and you nailed it from a business point of view earlier by saying it's all about keeping your overheads low.
Mm, yes.
So you've kind of combined a lifestyle business with a growing business, which is probably perfection for a lot of business people to be able to do that. So,
yes. Fantastic.
All right, sorry about this. We're going to have to spend a few minutes talking about her balcony. I'm really sorry. I apologise now, Mohammed, but she's going to talk to you about it.
Well, first of all, Mohammed, before balcony, the name of your company, SIFA?
Yes.
So what does that stand for?
That's a Swahili word. I mean, it comes from Africa.
Okay.
And that's where I was. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
And Sifa means a leader.
It means what, sorry?
A leader.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
In Swahili.
So you grew up, when did you come over here?
Oh, it was a long time ago. I was about 11 years old.
Okay.
And I went to school, college, university here. So it was about 1995.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to, before balconies, I want to get you to knuckle down and come to this lunch. So it's the Slope Off Friday. It's a business networking lunch.
Yeah.
It's with the FSB, the Federation of Small Businesses, and I host it. We usually have about 20, 21
just say yes.
Small businesses, SMEs, and we are at the where I did my BBC Christmas show last year, it was the Empire Rooms at the Royal Harbour Hotel, which you probably know, overlooking the harbour.
Yes, I know where it is.
It's 2 p.m.
It's worth paying attention to this, folks, because she's just done a triple sail on you all in one sentence. You've got to admire it, really, haven't you?
And I'll introduce you to the owner of the hotel, James, who's absolutely a darling, and he will know lots of people who will need architects. So there we go, number one. And in return, you can give me a very reasonable quote for my balconies. So what I'm looking for is a top floor balcony. But I'm wondering.
Hold on.
If they can join.
Hold on. You currently don't have balconies.
No.
And you
have windows that open right out.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to attach a balcony to the front of your house.
Well, I don't. I'm not going to do it.
You want a balcony attached to the front of your house.
Yeah, but not a little Juliet. It's got to be the whole 300.
Romeo. Wherefore art thou? Yeah.
The whole 380 degrees. Is it 380 or 360?
360. Jules lives on Tankerton Slopes, right? Yes. And in front of her house is the sea, okay?
Yes.
And she spends all of her day watching people drown out in the bay. And she needs to get a little bit closer, so she needs an extension from her balcony.
We've got RNLI and the helicopters coming. Yeah. And, I regularly tweet.
She sends me pictures of things. She goes, can you see what that is? Is it someone drowning or is it, a Lilo just floating by? Oh, I don't know. I can't see.
But you see, I've got this. You'll have to come round, won't you, Mohammed?
Sure. Watch it. Don't go anywhere near her wardrobe. That's just a little piece of advice, Mohammed, dear.
I get Victorian houses. I've always done up Victorian houses. I don't get modern houses that are, sort of pretend that it's 30 years old, my house. So, and it was built by a local Whitstable builder, and he's done it like mock Tudor.
Yes.
That's really not my bag. So I'd be interested to see what you could do with a different facade and
yeah, sure.
Where we could go with that.
Of course. I mean, we can have a look at it and I can do a sketch for you. And obviously the balcony would have to be structurally...
Tensile strength.
Yes, yeah.
I wouldn't put too much effort into it. Not to be honest, I mean, she'll survive the fall, trust me.
The moment I've got these amazing windows that they're obviously custom made, they open right out. And it's a 38-foot living room, so it's huge. But health and safety would never allow that. Because if I had grandchildren, they'd just pop right out, wouldn't they? I have to have them on harnesses or something.
Reel them back in. Anyway, enough of that because we've run out of time.
But you heard it on Business Bunker. Mohammed has offered to do my balcony at a very cheap rate.
Don't let her schmooze you. Don't let her schmooze you. Mohammed, if people want to find out more about the work you do and how to get in contact with you, if they want proper jobs done, not just schmoozing you for a balcony, how can they do that?
They can contact me on SIFA, which is SIFA. At life.co.uk, an email, and anything, a sketch or a picture or even a child's drawn, hand-drawn sketch would do. And
get your crayons out, Jules.
Yeah. Cool. And I can have a look at it and we can discuss further.
Fantastic. So, Mohammed, thank you so much for that. Absolutely brilliant. Lovely to see you, hear from you, and find out about your fantastic business.
Oh, thank you.
Keep on keeping on. Lovely to hear all of you. We're kind of at the end of the show now. I just need to tell you what's coming up later here on channelradio.co.uk. At 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benaig and Madame Benaig of the Kent Creative Art Show.
May we?
She is talking to filmmaker-poet Ben Barton and wedding photographer Fleur Chalice on the Kent Creative Show at 4 p.m. here on channelradio.co.uk/2. So do stay tuned for that. And then back on Channel Radio at 5 o'clock, we have Mr. Craig Avery, the lady's favourite, with his stripy socks and 2 hours of celebrity interviews. That's followed at 7 o'clock by Mr. Joey Whaler with the Rockabilly Show. At 9 o'clock, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, a show that some bizarre reason focuses on the year 1967. And then, as always, on a Tuesday, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down! cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always, on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we finish off with the wonderful Mr. Boy George and the Club Culture Show.
It's a great show, that.
It's a fantastic show here on channelradio.co.uk. But that's the end of another Business Bunker show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to share a couple of hours with you. I want to say a massive thank you to today's show sponsor, Eluxite Consultants, and to our guest from the Prince's Trust, Mr. Kevin Pickering.
Pleasure.
The lovely Tracy Ferguson.
Thank you.
And our two business guests, Lucy Brickwood and Mohammed Abdullah. Thank you all very much. A round of applause to everybody. We'll be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week. Thank you all for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.